Welcome to day 14 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries. Today we are embarking on the last few chapters of the book of Job. And if you've been with us for the previous 13 broadcasts, you know that we have made a lot of progress through the book of Job. And up to this point, the speakers have been Job and then his friends. But today, in chapter 38 and 39, we will actually hear the Lord answering Job out of the whirlwind and putting to silence a lot of Job's complainings by challenging him on what his great amount of knowledge is or is not. So this will be an interesting read today, as it is actually the Lord speaking in these two chapters. And then tomorrow we will complete the book of Job. But today we will be reading from the Amplified Translation, chapter 38 and 39 of Job, starting at verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now your loins like a man, and I will demand of you, and you declare to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare to me if you have and no understanding. Who determined the measures of the earth if you know? Or who stretched the measuring line upon it? Upon what were the foundations of it fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut up the sea with doors when it broke forth and issued out of the womb? When I made the clouds the garment of it, and thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and marked for it my appointed boundary, and set bars and doors, and said, 'Thus far shall you come and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stayed.' Have you commanded the morning since your days began, and caused the dawn to know its place, so that light may get hold of the corners of the earth and shake the wickedness of night out of it? It is changed like clay into which a seal is pressed, and things stand out like a many-colored garment. From the wicked their light is withheld, and their uplifted arm is broken. Have you explored the springs of the sea, or have you walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been revealed to you, or have you seen the doors of deep darkness? Have you comprehended the breadth of the earth? Tell me if you know it all. Where is the way where light dwells? And as for darkness, where is its abode? That you may conduct it to its home and may know the paths to its house. You must know, since you were born then, or because you are so extremely old. Have you entered the treasuries of the snow, or have you seen the treasuries of the hail, which I have reserved for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war? By what way is the light distributed, or the east wind spread over the earth? Who has prepared a channel for the torrents of rain, or a path for the thunderbolt, to cause it to rain on the uninhabited land and on the desert where no man lives, to satisfy the waste and desolate ground, and to cause the tender grass to spring forth? Has the rain a father, or who has begotten the drops of dew? Out of whose womb came the ice? And the hoary frost of heaven, who has given it birth? The waters are congealed like stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. Can you bind the chains of the cluster of stars called Pleiades, or loose the cords of the constellation Orion? Can you lead forth the signs of the zodiac in their season, or can you guide the stars of the bear with her young? Do you know the ordinances of the heavens? Can you establish their rule upon the earth? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds so that an abundance of waters may cover you? Can you send lightnings that they may go and say to you, here we are? Who has put wisdom in the inward parts or in the dark clouds? Or who has given understanding to the mind or to the meteor? Who can number the clouds by wisdom? Or who can pour out the water bottles of the heavens? When heat has caused the dust to run into a mass and the clods to cleave fast together, can you, Job, hunt the prey for the lion or satisfy the appetite of the young lions when they couch in their dens or lie in wait in their hiding place? Who provides for the raven its prey when its young ones cry to God and wander about for lack of food? Chapter 39. Do you know the time when the wild goats of the rock bring forth their young? Or do you observe when the hinds are giving birth? Do you attend to all this, Job? Can you number the months that they carry their offspring? Or do you know the time when they are delivered, when they bow themselves, bring forth their young ones, and cast out their pains? Their young ones become strong. They grow up in the open field. They go forth and return not to them. Who has sent out the wild donkey, giving him his freedom? Or who has loosed the bands of the swift donkey, by which his tame brother is bound, he, the shy, the swift-footed, and the untamable? Whose home I have made in the wilderness and the salt land is dwelling place? He scorns the tumult of the city, and he hears not the shoutings of the taskmaster. The range of the mountains is his pasture, and he searches after every green thing. Will the wild ox be willing to serve you or remain beside your manger? Can you bind the wild ox with a harness to the plow in the furrow, or will he harrow the furrows for you? Will you trust him because his strength is great, or to him will you leave your labor? Will you depend upon him to bring home your seed and gather the grain of your threshing floor? Who, Job, was the author of this strange variance in the disposition of animals so alike in appearance? Was it you? The wings of the ostrich wave proudly, but are they the pinions and the plumage of love? The ostrich leaves her eggs on the ground and warms them in the dust, forgetting that a foot may crush them or that the wild beasts may trample them. She is hardened against her young ones as though they were not hers. Her labor is in vain because she has no sense of danger for her unborn brood. For God has deprived her of wisdom, neither has he imparted to her understanding. Yet when she lifts herself up in flight, so swift is she that she can laugh to scorn the horse and his rider. Have you given the horse his might? Have you clothed his neck with quivering and a shaking mane? Was it you, Job, who made him to leap like a locust? The majesty of his snorting nostrils is terrible. He paws in the valley and exults in his strength. He goes out to meet the weapons of armed men. He mocks at fear and is not dismayed or terrified. Neither does he turn back in battle from the sword. The quiver rattles upon him, as do the glittering spear and the lance of his rider. He seems, in running, to devour the ground with fierceness and rage. Neither can he stand still at the sound of the war trumpet. As often as the trumpet sounds, he says, ha, ha, and he smells the battle from afar, the thunder of the captains and the shouting. Is it by your wisdom, Job, that the hawk soars and stretches her wings toward the south as winter approaches? Does the eagle mount up at your command and make his nest on a high, inaccessible place? On the cliff he dwells and remains securely upon the point of a rock in the stronghold. From there he spies out the prey, and he sets his eyes to see it afar off. His young ones suck up blood, and where the slain are, there is he. This is the end of our reading for today. In today's reading, we find these two amazing chapters where God Himself has stepped out to answer Job. We know that Job has been falling into more and more of a frustrated place because the words that he's been using in these last few chapters have been words that essentially have been questioning God's goodness or rightness because of the circumstances that Job is experiencing. And we know that many, many people on the earth today, when they go through tremendous adversity, one of the first questions out of their mouths may be, "Where is God in the middle of my problem? Why is God allowing this to happen?" Or for those who are unbelievers altogether, with sarcasm in their voice, you may have heard the question asked, "If there's a God, then why does this terrible thing happen to good people?" Or why does God allow children to be hurt, or murders to take place, or children to be abused, or people to starve to death, and many other questions about the sorrows that we see in the world today. We find people wanting to understand before they can believe God. And Job, in his case, is a man who believed God, but then when circumstances pressed upon him, when tragedy struck in his life, when adversity was overwhelming him, though he tried to hold on to his faith, he did fall into the place of questioning God's rightness in allowing these things to happen to him, a man of God. So chapters 38 and 39 of Job take us to an interesting point, because all the words in these two chapters came from the mouth of God. It starts out by saying, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, 'Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge?'" So the first question he's asking is, who is saying these things? And he's talking to Job, that are words without knowledge. In other words, everything you've said has been words without knowledge. You don't know what you are talking about, Job. And I would dare to say that any time that any of us start saying, "Where's God in this? And why would God allow this?" And essentially, out of frustration or anxiety or disappointment or sorrow, when we are tempted to question the goodness of God or the rightness of God, and essentially when we do that, we're accusing God of wrongdoing because of our circumstance. When we are doing that, if God stepped up and started speaking to you, you would suddenly have the revelation that Job has in the next couple chapters, last chapters of the book of Job that we're going to read tomorrow. But we would also be struck, as Job is, when God starts speaking, because God begins to point out his omnipotence, his sovereignty, his amazing creative powers by asking him questions. "Really? Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Go ahead, declare it to me if you have understanding about that." He begins to ask him almost 60 questions that basically have to do with creation, the things that God has done, the magnificent works of God, asking him, "Do you have any understanding about how I make the snow, the hail, the rain that comes out of the sky, how I have made," this is one of my favorites, "the seas that and the waves that come out, and then I tell them, 'Thus far you shall come and no farther,'" according to verse 11. "How is it that God can have the waves roll in and then they just stop suddenly?" God, in God's creation, that's how he designed the seas in the earth today. It's fabulous. It's fantastic. It's amazing. And God is pointing out all of these phenomenal creative acts of creation that he did and asking Job, can you give me any insight into any of this? Were you there when I did this? Basically pointing out, how is it that a man, a mere man like yourself, who can't even explain the simple acts of creation, which God did in the creation of the world, how is it that you even think to question me, who God, about these circumstances in your life? So the Lord is bringing to his attention that in comparison to the amazing almighty God, that man is just infinitesimally small. And it's true. And so these questions, many, many, many questions that God asks of Job, put into perspective God's wisdom, his godness, you could say, his amazing creativity and power in comparison to man. And how is it that a man can even question God, the God of all the world, the universe, creation? And this is what God is doing. He's bringing to Job's attention his power and all that he has done. And this doesn't even touch so much of what God has done and created. But many, many questions are asked specifically about different things, from the creation of the universe, the stars in the sky, the sea, and all these, and light itself. Where is the way where light dwells? And as for darkness, where is its abode? God is asking him questions about space and creation that Job cannot answer. And even scientists today cannot answer adequately. They have their theories, but they are not answering what God could ask them. And if God appeared to one of them and spoke and asked these questions, they themselves would be dumbfounded before the Lord. So these questions, which God asks of Job, basically point out that any human, man or woman, cannot stand before God and therefore has no right to question the wisdom of the Lord. And so many people today demand, I can't believe God or trust God until I understand. They require that their human natural intellect is satisfied before they'll allow their heart, their spirit man, to have faith and put trust in God. But that's totally and absolutely backwards. Saint Augustine, a man of God from centuries ago, said something very, very profound. And he was one of the greatest theologians that ever lived and wrote about the things of the Lord. He said this, and it was very, very profound. Consider this. Therefore, don't seek to understand so that you can believe, but believe so that you can understand. Understanding is the reward of faith. And in Job 38 and 39, God is questioning Job. He's saying, you know what? You want to understand before you believe me, and yet you don't even have understanding about these basic things of creation. So therefore, your understanding will never be able to provide you with faith. You must have faith, trust in God, his goodness, his righteousness, his amazing faithfulness, love, and mercy before you're going to have understanding. And this is what God calls us to today. God is good. The Word of God clearly shows the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the love of God, and the wisdom of God. And every human being has to come to the place where they choose to believe the goodness and rightness of God, even when they cannot understand certain things that happen in life. I guarantee you, when the day comes when all of us stand before the Lord, and you could say the curtain of life and human understanding is kind of pulled back and we are enabled to see things the way God sees them, there will be no more questions. That is the truth of it. There will be no more questions. Paul the Apostle wrote that we, right now in this world, in this life, we see through a glass darkly. In other words, we don't have full understanding. But when we stand before God, we will know, we will have understanding as we are known. Like the way God knows us and knows everything that's really happening, at that point, we will know, we will have understanding. But until then, we have to walk by faith and not by sight, not by what we see, not the way we can understand our circumstances. We may have a very difficult circumstance that we cannot understand or explain or understand why it's happening, such as Job's circumstances, which were very, very traumatic. And yet God was calling him to just trust him and telling him, you don't have understanding about creation. Don't try to understand what you see with your eyes right now. But God's rightness is always right. And when we question, or I would rather say when we accuse God of wrongdoing in our life, that's essentially blasphemy. We're saying that God's not good, not right in what he has done. That is not right for us. If we could stand before the Lord, and we will, all of us, every person, will one day stand before the Lord. And then you're going to have a revelation about everything. And then we ourselves would repent on the spot for what we thought about God, about he didn't do this right in my life or whatever. We don't want to get to that place. We want to trust the Lord now. And then when we stand before the Lord, we'll know the details of why things occurred. There are always circumstances that are happening behind the scenes that we cannot see, such as Job did not see how Satan himself in those first few chapters literally went after Job. So Job didn't understand that that was what was going on, not God doing things to him, but Satan himself literally bringing war against this man, Job, who had made the profession of faith that he loved God and honored God in his life. So you cannot always see what the spiritual implications or the things happening in the spirit. You can get revelation. God can give that revelation. But most of the time, we don't see that and we don't understand all the details of what's going on in our life. And it would be wrong for us to make a judgment against God that somehow God is wrong in all of this. I guarantee you, God is not trying to destroy you. God is not trying to bring trouble into your life. God is the God of life and life abundant. That's what Jesus said about himself in John 10:10. I came to bring life and life abundant, abundant life for us. It's Satan himself who's the one on a mission to kill, steal, and destroy, Jesus said in that same verse. So we have to understand there is a spiritual war. Sometimes when things are happening in your life, understand there's warfare. Sometimes there are consequences happening from things we did, and we need the Lord to show us that. So if there's an open door, we can repent of anything we've done that might have allowed some of the trouble that we might be seeing in our life. But without a doubt, you can always depend that God is good. And that you can trust him to help you no matter what the circumstance. Even if we have done something that perhaps has opened a door in our life that's allowed some trouble to come from Satan or other sources, we can repent, ask the Lord to help us put ourselves in a position where we can receive the grace of God and the help of God, and know that God himself can restore any and every circumstance that you may be facing. Job found that out, and we will see that tomorrow in our reading. So don't miss tomorrow's Bible reading and devotional, because the end of the story is God's a restorer of years that the locust has eaten. God's a restorer of disasters. God is able to bring what we think is hopeless into having hope again and joy again in our lives. If you are in the most lowest point in your life, you need to just trust that God is able to turn that around. But you cannot accuse God, and you cannot be at a place where you've given up on God. God wants to pull you back up. That's His heart for you. That's His desire for you. He wants you to end your life on a good note, not on a down note, on a good note. He's able to do that. That's what we will see at the end of this story tomorrow, that though it looked like Job's life was over and destroyed, the end was better than the beginning or the middle of his life, as you will see. God will do that and desires to do that for you, but He requires that you put your trust in Him, you repent forever accusing Him of being the wrongdoer in your life, and just say, God, I don't understand, but I choose to believe that You are good all the time and that You're able to take me out of the situation I'm in and turn it around for Your glory. That's God's desire for you, for all of us. So put your trust in the Lord. If you've been doubting, even questioning, or even accusing God, tell the Lord today, I'm sorry for that. Forgive me for that, God. I choose by faith, not because I understand, but because I have faith that You are good. Your word says it, and I believe it. And then let the Lord bring a testimony this year out of your life that He's the God that can restore any and every circumstance. God bless you. Have a victorious day.